Okay, so today I'm going to be talking about my new Monte Carlo result, quantum Monte Carlo results on Pomeranchuk instability of composite Fermi liquid. Okay, so this work has been done in collaboration with these people. Apologies for the poor quality of the. it was very difficult to find his picture online, so I had to crop it out of some workshop picture. So we've been hearing a lot about pneumatic phases so far in this conference, especially in iron superconductors, but also in cuprates and strontium ruthenates, also shows pneumatic phases. But in fact, the very first example where pneumatic phase was established in electronic systems was in quantum Hall. So it was found in the late 90s that the fractional quantum Hall state at filling factor 9½ showed this huge anisotropy in the resistivity. And more recently, there was an experiment on surface of bismuth showing this pneumatic order, which I believe we'll hear more about later in the session. So let's think about the mechanism of pneumaticity. So, and we can think of two possible approaches. First is to start from a more ordered, less symmetric state, the strike phase, and then approach the pneumatic phase by recovering the translation symmetry. Now, this is the strong coupling approach. The other approach is to start from a symmetric isotropic phase and approach the pneumatic phase as a broken symmetry phase. And in electronic systems, the liquid phase, the isotropic phase is the Fermi liquid. So that brings us to the Pomeranchuk instability. Okay, Pomeranchuk instability is the instability of the Fermi C against the small deformation in some angular momentum channel. So consider a Fermi C and consider this infinitesimal deformation of the Fermi surface in some angular momentum channel. And you can calculate the energy change. And if you look at this expression, that the energy change will be negative when this FL, the Fermi liquid parameter in angular momentum channel L, is less than minus 1. So this tells us a possible way of getting a broken rotation symmetry state. And the pneumatic phase corresponds to the L equals to 2 channel. Okay, and the theory of the pneumatic fluid has been studied in these papers and others, but they started by assuming a certain value of F2, very close to the critical point, critical value. What they hadn't considered is where this F2 comes from, say, microscopics. So then I asked the following question. Can Pomeranchuk instability ever arise from a fundamental isotropic interaction as literally defined by Pomeranchuk? Sorry?
F is a Landau parameter.
F is the Fermi liquid.
That should be 2L plus 1, minus less than 2L plus 1.
In 2D is minus 1. Yeah.
2D of 2L plus 1 disappears?
Yeah.
2 should be 2.
Depends on how you normalize. Okay, so that's why we started looking at the quantum Hall states. So this, as I mentioned before, this 9½ state is a pneumatic state. And it's a member of this very interesting family of electronic systems, 2D electronic systems under magnetic field. That involves half-filled Mandel levels. So we've heard from the chair earlier that the 5½ state also shows pneumatic phase under hydrostatic pressure, which is purely isotropic. And also at filling factor half, we have the gapless state with low energy fermionic excitations. Now, this pneumatic quantum Hall pneumatic state has been studied in many by many people using various different methods, but so far there has been no direct confirmation of the Pomeranchuk instability from isotropic interaction, even though it has been discussed as a possible mechanism. So what we did is the following. We just took a composite Fermi liquid, and we assumed the Coulomb interaction. We just computed the Fermi liquid parameter for different lambda levels that corresponds to 1/2, 5/2, and 9/2. Okay, so for the description of the composite Fermi liquid, we use this function, this wave function, which is written as a product of the Slater determinant and a Jastrow factor. The Jastrow factor is the 1/2 bosonic Laufen state. And these k's, you can think of them as like a parameter for the wave function, and they play the role of the occupied momenta in Fermi liquid. Okay, so this wave function, this composite fermion wave function has a very peculiar symmetry, the Boost symmetry. Because the magnetic field completely quenches the kinetic energy, the system is invariant if you translate the system, translate everything in momentum space uniformly. So one simple example of a Hamiltonian which has this Boost symmetry is this simple form written by Haldane. This, because this is written in terms of the relative momenta, this is manifestly invariant under Boost. Now, within the framework of Pomeranchuk, you can try to extract what the Fermi liquid parameter is for this specific Hamiltonian, and you find that F is minus 1 for L equals 1, and 0 in all the other channels. So the purpose of this simple example is twofold. That first is that even with the Boost symmetry, you can still think of a Fermi C by bringing the k-points close together. The other is that it enforces some kind of normalization for the Fermi liquid parameter, in that in order to respect Boost symmetry, we have to force the F1 to be minus 1. And so once we calculate all the Fermi liquid parameters, we have to normalize it by the F1. Okay, so how do we compute the Fermi liquid parameter? We start with the composite Fermi C. For this calculation, I took 37 particles, I choose these k-points. And then what I do is I consider low-lying particle hole excitations. And with 37 particles, I get eight unequivalent particle hole configurations. And for each configuration, I calculate the energy by calculating the expectation value of the Hamiltonian. Once I have all the energies, what I do is I fit it to the Fermi liquid energy functional, from which I can extract the Fermi liquid parameter. And then by dividing by F1, I get the dimensionless Fermi liquid parameter. Okay, so the Hamiltonian. For the Hamiltonian, because we don't have kinetic energy and we're not considering any lambda level mixing, so the only thing, only term left in the Hamiltonian is the Coulomb interaction, which can be written in terms of the structure factor and the Fourier transform of the interaction. And for higher lambda levels, this this expression acquires an extra extra factor that comes from projection to the lambda level. So this this Laguerre polynomial has higher orders of Q, which has to do with the short-range corrugation of the wave functions at higher lambda levels. Okay, so we once we calculate the expectation value of the structure factor for each configuration, we can calculate the energy. And the expectation value is a 74-dimensional interval because I have 37 particles, and it's going to take a long time. So instead, I do a Monte Carlo integration. Okay, so we have all the methods, we have the wave function, we went on and did the calculation. It worked well for the lowest lambda level, but we failed for the higher lambda levels. So here I'm plotting the cumulative average energy as a function of the Monte Carlo steps. So over about 10 billion Monte Carlo steps, I found these huge jumps. It's hard to see from here, but the y-axis is of order 10 to the 14, 15. So obviously we have a problem. It's not converging. And we realize that this has to do with the UV divergence coming from the higher orders in Q. And this is, originally I was not used to, because I was more used to lattice calculation, and this UV divergence is not something you get in those kind of models. But here we have a continuum, so I got this UV divergence. So that's why we introduce another parameter, the thickness parameter eta. So instead of using a raw Coulomb interaction, I use this screen form of the Coulomb interaction, which in real space can be written like this. So this, and this parameter has been used by Zhang and Dasarma in their study of the paired state in 5F. And so the purpose of this eta is twofold. So first is that it provides an ultraviolet cutoff for us, so we can control the divergence. Second is that it represents this quasi-2D nature of a system. So eta is a length scale. It's a length scale of the spread of the wave function in the perpendicular direction to the quantum well. Okay, so we have the control over the UV divergence. Now, we did the calculation again after about 25 billion Monte Carlo steps. We have the results. Here I'm plotting the F2 in three different Landau levels. You can see that at the lowest Landau level, F2 is never minus one. It never goes below minus one. So we do not find any Pomeranchuk instability. But for higher Landau levels, we do. So there are critical values of eta below which the Fermi liquid, the composite Fermi liquid is unstable. And it will become pneumatic. Now, this is consistent with the fact that pneumatic state has been seen in 9.5 and 5.5 states. And so how about other angular momentum channels? So for that, we looked at different values of L. So I'm plotting FL for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for two different values of eta. Okay? So in both cases, here F2 is slightly below minus 1. But all the other channels are far away from it. And it's even more so for thicker, larger value of eta. And in fact, for all values of eta we've looked at, we did not find any higher angular momentum channel than 2 that's leading. Okay, so now to summarize, we've calculated the Fermi liquid parameter for a composite Fermi liquid with Coulomb interaction. And we found pneumatic Pomeranchuk instability in n equals to 1 and 2 Landau levels, but not in the lowest Landau levels. So this is the first demonstration of a Pomeranchuk instability out of a isotropic interaction. So with that, I would like to conclude. Thank you.
Questions? Okay. So just wanted to understand this FL, F1 equal minus 1, is it because of the, so it's also a Galilean invariant, right? So there is a relation to M star, right? So is it just because the mass is very, has to be just flat, so the dispersion is flat, right? So there is a quenching of the kinetic energy.
For a single particle, right? Or
right.
So single particle picture doesn't really hold because these k's are not really single particle momenta.
So F1 is also related to effective mass somehow, right? In Galilean invariant system. Right, so there is this relation to effective mass.
Okay.
Is infinite. That's what I wanted to ask, yeah.
M star is 1 plus F1.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so that just reflects the M star.
Yes.
Is a,
yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, right. Okay. Right. Okay, thank you.
Actually, it's a follow-up. in the usual case of a thermal liquid, you need to go from the Landau function, which has units, mm-hmm. to the Landau parameter, which is dimensionless, by using M star mm-hmm. and Z factor, right? Z factor.
Okay.
So it's a Z factor squared. Mm-hmm. How do you go here about this?
Here, I don't use M star. I just use the fact that I have a boost symmetry, and that sets the scale of all the other parameters. So this determines the absolute values of F in my calculation.
I had pretty much the same question, that you calculate, you start with the interaction. Uh-huh. So what you calculate is probably a fully normalized vertex function. From vertex function uh-huh. to Landau function, you need to take vertex function, multiply it by Z square M star over M. So how you deal if you don't know Z and your M star is formally equal to zero?
So that's the subtle thing about this wave function. That I've had that confusion when I thought of these k's as like really the filled momenta of the Fermi liquid, but they're actually not. Right? So these, they're not single particle, they're not really related to the single particle momenta. This is not continuously connected to a Fermi gas or anything. So these are, k's are just the parameters of the wave function. And so you can write the energy as a function of k. That's the only role that these k's play. And you shouldn't over-interpret as if it's a really Fermi liquid.
That probably is also related to my confusion, because you were talking about L equal to 1. Mm-hmm. And L equal to 1 in an ordinary Fermi liquid would obviously not be an allowed thing,
right.
because that would mean that your system is spontaneously beginning to travel.
Exactly.
But with a magnetic field, and after you quench the kinetic energy mm-hmm. completely, can you explicitly see that it is an allowed instability?
So that really depends on the description of the state, right? So this description for the state that I have is this wave function, and this wave function is invariant under that boost.
So it begins to travel.
No, it doesn't begin to travel. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care.
It's in a magnetic field. So, but how does that come into the story? And what does L mean now? What does L mean?
So there's no energy gain by boost, right? It's just the energy change is zero, so it doesn't spontaneously move.
Presumably you can describe all this you've used the language of Fermi liquid theory to give mm-hmm. us an explanation mm-hmm. that we understand, but maybe the other way of saying it is the variational energy of this state mm-hmm. is invariant if we boost all the k's.
Right.
And then you just evaluate the energy. On the other hand, this LF being less than minus 1 means that if, as a variational state, you take these k's mm-hmm. to be distorted according to an L equals 2 distortion, you will find a lower energy.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Thank you.
And that is a state that breaks the equation.
Yes.
Could you explain how you study the symmetry broken state, like that you see? You work in a regime where mm-hmm. it's unstable?
Right. So this only tells us, okay, it has this instability, right? It tells us that the composite Fermi liquid is not stable. That's all.
But you're able to study the regime where it's already unstable?
But then we don't know if the composite Fermi liquid wave function description holds.
It just means that
it's a different phase.
Can you distort the Fermi C?
So there were such studies explicitly trying distorting and seeing what that.
So there were such studies just trying distorting the configurations in a particular way and see if you gain energy. Okay, but this is starting from an isotropic state, isotropic interaction, and asking whether F2 can, sufficiently become large and negative.
I see. So could you test if you just made it distorted that you
that people have done that? Yep. Marosaki has done that. Yeah.
Low energy.
And
It depends on thickness and stuff.
Yeah, so they find the qualitatively
you can,
the same
You can
result.
Make it happen, yeah.
Have you tried to address the experiment under pressure, you know, by changing your, you know, Coulomb pseudo potential and squeeze it and so on? I mean, what's your picture? The non-abelian state first melt into the Fermi liquid state and then undergoes the instability, or is the first order transition? What's your picture?
So first of all, I did not consider pairing in this study, so I cannot really say much about the change about the paired state. But I am considering, okay, what does the pressure do to this value of eta effectively, and whether it really pushes the system towards this direction. I'm still thinking about that.
For the composite Fermi liquid.
Yes.
You see that you can anticipate it. You can anticipate
that pressure would push the eta in the right direction, but we cannot talk anything about pair.
Five seconds question from two of us. What happens when eta goes to infinity?
When eta goes to infinity, okay.
Apparently so interaction goes to zero, right, to this situation.
Sorry?
Apparently interaction vanishes in this situation. And your F2 doesn't go to zero in this case.
F2. So below this certain value
of
eta?
No, it goes to infinity.
Oh, this direction?
Side. Yeah.
They all converge to some value about like minus point, 0.8 or something. So the absolute value decreases, yes.
Wait a second. Interaction goes to zero in this case.
But the kinetic energy is already zero. It's purely zero, right? Kinetic energy is zero, so everything is scaled by the F1, which is also interaction. So it's a relative value between F1 and all the other FLs.
Another way to the Fermi liquid, in general, Pohlmann chunk instability is preempted by other pairings or pneumatics and so on, right? I mean, that's known. So I'm asking, because you're basically showing the instability of composite fermion, but that's it.
Right.
So
right.
What I'm asking is that in the case of Fermi liquid, these things are preempted by other order state.
Okay.
And the examples include pneumatic and pairing and others.
Pneumatic so meaning?
Pneumatic is a pneumatic ordered state, like because you're just looking at the instability. Mm-hmm. Just saying that you're in a Van Hoff singularity in 2D case, the Van Hoff singularity does not appear if you have some kind of pairing state, pairing interactions, or if you have pneumatic interaction, which pneumatic sets in. So you could have, in principle, pneumatic ordered state, which is wiping out the Van Hoff singularity. So I wonder in your case, can you have like, in this case, you could, in principle, form competition between pairing state, which is this non-abelians, or you could have pneumatic ordered state. Have you looked at that competition?
No, I haven't looked at the competition between paired state.
Because your interaction is probably not going to
this took 5 years. Just to understand, so once you create this excitation, so you put one quasi particle, right, and then compute the energy, right?
I put
so in order to find to map this F the functional, right?
Do I need to?
In order to find the parameters, the lambda parameters, right? So when you say you find the energy, you just compute the expectation value, right? So, but those are exact eigenstates, right? So,
these are not exact eigenstates.
They're not excited states.
Yeah, but they're exact
states, and
These are just excited states. You make the excited states and calculate energy, and that way you probe the Fermi surface. And this is a method that's been developed and well used by continuum variational Monte Carlo community in like separately, and collaborators use this mm-hmm. to calculate Fermi liquid parameters for sodium, for example.
Right, but so those are well-defined eigenstates, and basically
it's the same variational thing. You take a wave function. Their wave function is some fixed node with something else, you know. And this is a wave function which has some confidence from matching to the exact diagonalization. Mm. It compares very well with ED, but it's something that you can write down by hand.
Okay. So it's long-lived in the sense of.
Right. It's a variational Monte Carlo calculation with zero variational parameter.
Thank you.
So the fact that F1 equals minus one, mm-hmm. right? One interpretation is that the bare mass is infinity, right? Basically in this system.
Okay.
So does it come from your calculation, or do you actually have to impose this condition? In this calculation?
So at the level of wave function already, if you add a constant to every k, it's only a phase change in the wave function. So in that sense, it's already built in to the fact that the mass is zero is already built into the wave function.
So if you actually compute F1, then you should get a minus one, right?
Right.
From this wave function.
Yeah.
Just to follow up, so basically you can independently, right, to test it, right? So if you compute mm-hmm. The dispersion, right, and then you can test this independently, right? So I understand that it is built in that FL equal minus mm-hmm. one, but you can test it, right?
Yeah.
So somehow,
yeah.
Independently on yes. this approach, once you compute the functional.
Yeah.
No.
So it's a simple exercise that K1 minus K2 square Hamiltonian, and you can calculate F1, and you find it to be minus one.
Okay. So, thank you.
I think let me ask the last question. Can one compare this result with exact diagonalization?
What kind of?
Just exactly diagonalizing the lambda level problem. So the particle number here is 37. Mm-hmm. It's probably double the size of typical ED can do, but
right.
suppose you reduce particle number to like 12 or 15, and do an exact diagonalization to show the translation.
So in ED, people have studied stripes, but the system size is so small, so you cannot quite tell, you know, whether it's translational symmetry breaking or rotational symmetry breaking. This is too many particles.
I see. This is much larger than ED, of course. Okay, great. So, okay, let's thank our speaker again.